Good morning, everybody. Well done. Hopefully your gadgets told you as well as they told me that we're an hour ahead, spring forward and all that. And if you're still in your pyjamas eating your Cheerios, no one can see. So don't worry at all. It's great to have you join us. And special welcome if it's your first time. We're pretty new to this too here at Christchurch. This is our second time of live streaming for obvious reasons. But it's proving a great way of engaging with both one another in the church family and the wider community. So if you're joining in from near or far, it's terrific to have you with us. Our hope in doing this, as we said last week, is very simply just to keep gathering together. The building might be shut, but the church isn't shut down. And so we just want to do what Christians have always done for generations, which is to meet together to hear God's word, to pray together. And to sing his praises. We're not going to sing his praises together, but you'll see underneath the video at the end, I've recommended just a couple of songs in the video description, which you might like to open in your browser or in Spotify, whatever you use, some family type songs with some silly actions and some other songs to hopefully sing in response to all that we hear together. Also worth saying that I heard that a couple of our midweek groups are using the technology after the service and thinking about having a Zoom conversation, a coffee together, as it were. Brilliant idea. We're going to try that as well in our small group. And also, let's not be mindful. Let's not allow there to be a digital divide between us. So if you're in a regular small group, but just the technology is overwhelming, you've managed this. Well done. But all these extra paraphernalia is too much. And know that we'll be ringing round and staying in touch. And I know lots of that's been going on. I give thanks to God for all of the church family love that's been happening throughout the week. Please keep that going, Christchurch. We're all hugely appreciative of it and of one another at a time like this especially. But I guess as the sort of the momentum will easily wane, it'll become weeks and are going to roll into potentially months. So let's keep loving and supporting and serving each other as we are. The other thing I just wanted to say was what I shared midweek through that video, and that is to say that if you are this morning find yourself particularly troubled, burdened with financial worries or the emotional worries that are coming out through this social distancing, this self-isolation, the concerns with work, please, please don't suffer in silence through your small group leaders or through me. Know you can speak in confidence. Both for prayer and indeed for any of the practical support that we'd long to give as a church family, united by God's grace and seeking to share all that we have, whether it's a shoulder to cry on, meals, food, or other support. So please do know that very much can get in touch. Finally, before we turn to God's word, just a reminder about our prayer gatherings now happening Monday to Friday, 8 o'clock over Zoom. If you're able to join us, that'd be great. And do be praying for me just as we think about how to do this digital church for the next short while. So thinking of all sorts of ideas about podcasts, some evangelistic soundbite type talks to send around to friends on WhatsApp, that kind of thing. Do be praying. It's a great sadness that we're in the situation, but also a great opportunity. To engage in different ways. So I appreciate your prayers as we think about that. Right, meantime, now is a chance to grab your Bible. I read from the NIV. Don't worry, it can be any version, but if you're just wondering why there's some differences, I'll be reading from the NIV. Turn up Psalm 13. And if you don't know where that is, you don't usually look at your Bible, don't worry at all. That's why we have contents pages in every copy I've ever bought. So look up Psalm 13. It's generally in about sort of halfway through there in the middle in the Old Testament. It's the songbook of the Bible. We only have the lyrics, lots of hymns and songs set to the words. But it's a terrific resource, especially at times like this. So Psalm 13, hope you got your Bible. Your reading specs if you need them, pen and paper if you're a note taker or a doodler as we think about these words together. And so I'm going to pray, ask for God's help as we hear his word, then I'll read it and I'll preach. Let's just pray together. Loving Father, we thank you so much for your voice. And on this side of our series on Sundays in Revelation, thinking about this invitation for all to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We thank and praise you that we're not reading dusty words of antiquity, but a living word by your Spirit for us today. And so we pray now, you just still our hearts, clear our minds a bit, help us to be distraction free as best we can, that we would hear what you have to say to us as you meet us and engage with us at this unsettling time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 13, do read along with me. For the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Well, I can't think of any other time in living memory where we gather on a Sunday morning, whether through a TV screen or in person like this, as very different people, all sorts of very different backgrounds, and gathering and yet still sharing one single same trouble, this wretched virus. And of course, even without this virus, troubling as it is, our lives are so very often peppered, aren't they? A real mixture of all the joys and happiness which many will know, and yet all sorts of trouble. Day after day, if we're really honest, life is a bumpy road, isn't it? We've all hit the same bump at the moment. But if we're honest, how many of the other bumps have really gone away? In fact, how many of them have just got bigger because of this wretched virus? Health trouble, financial trouble, family trouble, trouble at work, trouble at home. Some of it might have eased. Others might have got a lot worse. And so I wonder, what do you do, or to whom do you turn when you're in trouble? That's what this psalm's been asking of me this week. You see, in a lockdown like this, we're all finding, aren't we, that the places and people that we usually turn to, even for a bit of escapism, well, they're either proving unreliable or simply unavailable. We can't do those things. We can't go to those people. And what does a Christian do? Or to whom does a Christian turn when the God who we heard last week from Psalm 46 is supposedly strong and present, and yet right now perhaps we feel he's weak and very far away? What do we do? Where do we turn? Well, wonderfully, in God's word, he doesn't give us a philosophy to set our thinking straight, but he gives us the very words and invites us to speak to him straight. That's what Psalm 13 does. It very rawly expresses felt pain, turns it into very honest prayer, and all because it remembers God's unfailing love. And if you're not sure you're a Christian here this morning, it's great you've joined us. Thank you very much for doing so. And I hope my prayer would be that you might hear something of God's invitation to turn to him in your trouble and mine at a time like this. Firstly, then, though, let's see from this psalm, our felt pain. We're told right there at the start, it's for this director of music to write the tune, and it's a psalm of David. He's the king of Israel. And we're not quite sure of the facts of life that he's facing, but we can be quite sure of what he's feeling, can't we? He is a bag of unanswered questions. Four times in two verses, he asks God, how long? That is a question surely we all resonate with right now. And as he goes through, we can imagine he just gets louder and more desperate and anxious as he repeats it. How long, how long, how long, how long? His whole world is collapsing around him. Just notice as he goes through the questions, spiritually in verse 1, he feels so forgotten by the Lord. It feels as though he's hiding from him. He's turned his back. Emotionally, verse 2, he feels exhausted by his own thoughts that he wrestles with. Day after day, he only feels one thing, sad. Situationally, verse 2, he knows and feels the pain of this enemy winning. See, here is a Christian man, God's king, no less, who has one question on repeat. How long? And so what does he do? He pours out his pain. And to whom does he turn? Well, he turns to the Lord in this brutally honest prayer. Look what he says in verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. What raw, brutal, honest demands. I don't know about you, as I read those, I realized I've not got permission to speak to my parents like that. I certainly wouldn't give permission to my children to speak to me like that. And yet that is exactly the permission God's word gives us to speak to him like that when we feel like this. Verse 3, look on me, Lord, and answer. David demands to both see and hear from the Lord. Give light to my eyes. Again, a Hebrew imperative. He demands, tell me what's going on. Help me see the meaning behind what you're doing here. And all the while, he's got this enemy saying, verse 4, I've overcome him. And this enemy who will rejoice when I fall. David fears the party they're going to have when they see him stumble. This so-called man of God, where's his Lord now? And so David is desperate and so demands, Lord, you will look, you will answer, and you will explain. You see, friends, here is a real Christian. A Christian who in such felt pain turns to God with the most brutally honest prayer. Picture, if you will, a young child happily playing away in the park. We've got lots of local parks around here full of all the climbing frames and swings and all the fun. Picture a child having a whale of a time. The parks are looking pretty empty. They will be opened again, I'm sure, in time. But as that child plays, let's picture the scene as they're charging around, climbing up the ladder to the fort. They've got their favourite cuddly toy in one hand. They're scrabbling up the steps one-handed with the other. And a bigger child comes along, snatches the toy. They trip and stumble. They're called a big crybaby. And the child runs off with their favourite cuddly, leaving the other child with bruised knee and a bruised ego. In their pain, what does that child do, and to whom do they go? Wouldn't it be really weird if they ran past their loving parent or carer out the park, down the road to the local library to read up on philosophy, to try and better articulate their feelings, to understand what's going on? Wouldn't it be weird if they got a dictionary or probably a smartphone and loaded the app to just get some better language, a thesaurus perhaps, a dictionary to express how they're feeling more articulately? No, what we'd anticipate as we picture that child is them picking themselves up, dusting themselves down and running over to that loving adult and pouring out their pain in ways that very often will make no sense. If you're a parent or grandparent, you'll have been there. You can't really understand what they're saying through all the snot and sniffles, and you have no real knowledge of the incident that's happened unless you saw it. but they're being honest, they're angry, they're desperate, they know the injustice, and they just pour out their pain to someone who they love and they know will listen. You see, friends, Christians, we're not offered immunity from corona, or indeed any of life's trouble, any of the troubles which are far worse than cuddly toys snatched or a bruised knee. And Christians aren't offered or provided any of sort of life's fortune cookie answers, platitudes to get us through. We all, like David, will know days, months. Some of you I know will know years of where you'll feel God's back is turned, of where you'll feel very much like you've been forgotten, where you'll only know sadness, and where you face that frightening feeling of colleagues and family, our culture, looking at you, looking at us, and saying, where's your God now? What do we do, and where do we go? Well, clearly in Psalm 13, David goes to the Lord. As one writer put it, Jesus never said, come to me, all you who are strong and sorted and have all life's answers. No, Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, Psalm 13 assures us and invites us to take our pain, put it to very honest prayer, and come to a very loving Lord. Our final point. Look at verse 5 with me. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. There's four little words that make a huge difference to everything, don't they, that David's facing. But I trust in. I wonder how you'd finish that statement for yourself. What or whom do you trust in when life's trouble seems too much, that you'd be feeling pain like this? You see, David only has questions and no answers. But when he remembers the God he's talking to and what he's like, he knows he has one question to which he can already answer. The question, can I trust God? And his answer is an emphatic, fat yes. He remembers he's trusted once and so will continue to trust in the Lord's unfailing love. And so his heart will rejoice in God's salvation. Bible speak for God's rescue. Verse 6, he says, I will sing. Even as he struggles, and we've heard his struggle, we've felt his pain. But I will sing, he says, because I know that last line, the Lord has been good to me. I know he's a savior. As Calvin puts it, for David right now, writing this psalm, God's deliverance feels miles in the distance. But David places it right before his eyes and so sings. I heard of an elderly couple who, in decades of their marriage, had reminded one another of their love for each other each day. They called them a smiley, a see how much I love you. They left a little note, a smiley. And they leave that little note, that reminder of their love, in all sorts of surprising ways, so that day by day, throughout their marriage, no matter what bumps in the road they faced, they'd remember how much they loved each other. They'd leave a note on the pillow, or they'd write it in the condensation in the shower cubicle. They'd leave it in a wallet as someone goes shopping. Apparently once it was written on the loo roll, so when the paper was pulled. Whatever else was going on, a daily demonstration and reminder of love. Christian, how much more do we Even more than that marriage, even more than King David, how much do we know God's continued, unmistakable, public demonstration of unfailing love as we look at Christ's cross? It doesn't answer everything right now, but we know his unfailing love as we look there. See, as the New York pastor Tim Keller puts it, we still ask, where is God in our pain? Where is God in coronavirus? And as we look at the cross, we still don't know precisely what the answer is, but we know what the answer isn't, Keller writes. It can't be that he doesn't love us. It can't be that he's indifferent or detached from our situation. Because God takes our misery and suffering so seriously, he was willing to take it on himself by dying to save sinners. See, friends, in our very felt pain, God gives us Psalm 19. He wants us to engage our emotions, not to set our thinking straight, but so that we would talk straight in prayer, honest prayer with him, all the while knowing it's to him we turn. Because as we look at the cross, we can trust in God's unfailing love, a love that would even stoop down to suffer and save. Well, just a couple of questions as I finish. Question to think about perhaps this week is, if you're a Christian who tries to turn to the Lord, do you turn your pain into prayer like David? What hinders you and what helps you in that? Secondly, if you're struggling to sing like David, well, how might you strengthen your trust in the Lord's love, like David? And how might you strengthen someone else's trust in the Lord's love, like David? See, and finally, a question really, if you're not yet a Christian, not someone who's sure where you stand with this Lord, I wonder how you might finish David's statement. But I trust in. As you face life's troubles, as you face the fears of corona and other things, how do you answer? How do you finish? But I trust in. Might it be you're seeing that if it's not the Lord, it won't ultimately deliver? Well, this is a psalm that resources us to pray. It gives us the words to say. And so let's close by praying together now. So I'm going to take us through various prayers for our church family and our world. So do join with me, and we'll close by saying the words of the grace, which some of you might know. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much that you give us your word, which by your Spirit becomes our word back to you when we've got no words. Thank you for words that invite us to engage with our feelings, to pour out to you our pain, to be honest, to dare to be demanding, and yet above all, to remember our trust in your unfailing love. And so, Father, we do cry out to you. We fear coronavirus. We fear that as the spike hasn't yet come in our country, we fear the worst to happen. We fear, as we see conference centres turned into hospital wards for thousands and morgues for dozens and hundreds. We don't know why, and we don't like it. And Lord, we ask how long. We pray for your mercy, that the virus would stop. But we pray as those, Lord, who know you're not distant, We know you're not indifferent because we pray as those meeting at the foot of the cross. And so we ask you to help us to give us light to see, to place Christ's cross before our eyes, our deliverance, to trust you, to pray and to sing. Father, as we think about the cross of Christ, we know that we are only saved by grace. We think of our own sins, which the Lord Jesus died for, sins which will have been perhaps revealed to us more acutely this week in strange and new ways, in our strange and new environments. As we wrestle with those and struggle with those, we thank you for the cross. We are sorry for our sin. And we praise you that you demonstrate your love for us in this by dying to save sinners. Lord, we pray on a global scale, of course, for the experts around the world working tirelessly to research this virus, to do the necessary modelling, the necessary vaccine preparation. We pray you give them wisdom, expertise, and collaboration. Father, we pray not just for the experts, we pray for all those on the front line of the medical services, and of course, particularly our NHS. We thank you for that opportunity this week to show a smidgen of our appreciation on our doorsteps and balconies and windows. We pray for all those builders preparing new hospitals and morgues. We pray for those in our church family on the front line. We do ask, Lord, that you would keep them safe and their families well. We pray you'd sustain them, one, if they get ill, but also if they end up therefore having to self-isolate from families. We pray that physically they'd be well, spiritually they'd know you've not turned your face away. Help them to trust in and speak of you in the situations you've placed them. Father, we pray, of course, also for the most vulnerable within our church family, those with underlying conditions, those more elderly and frail, those more anxious and fearful. We won't share names publicly here, but you know those in our family who are on our hearts. We thank you for the ongoing love and care that's happening day by day, week by week. We pray that will continue. We pray that needs will be met and you give us the energy and grace to keep serving wholeheartedly. Very particularly, Lord, we pray for Harriet, who let me know this morning that her auntie in Uganda died last night from natural causes unrelated to this. But of course, yet more sorrow in such an unsettling time. We thank and praise you for her love for Harriet, how she was like a mother to her. We pray very much you would be with Harriet, John and the family and the wider family as they mourn this loss, knowing they can't do what they'd normally do in their grief and their mourning, and they have to support each other from a distance. Finally, Father, we pray for our local community, especially those who are fearful that the food banks are running low. We pray for creative ways for the organisations to work together to get the resources to those who need it most. And we pray particularly for those who just feel the most fear. We pray that you would meet them at this time of their world imploding, at their pillars of society being shaken, and that you would reveal not just their sin, but your love in the Lord Jesus, their Saviour. We pray that many through this would turn to you, receive the Lord rather than reject him, and know the joy of eternal life with you. We pray all these things, rounding them up in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Well, Psalm 13 helps us to pray, I hope, and it invites us to sing. And so please, underneath the video in the description there, you'll see some song suggestions. Do use those. Crank them up loud and enjoy those. Small groups, you might well want to gather for coffee together after that. And if you are indeed someone who isn't sure about how you'd finish that statement, but I trust in, you'd like to discuss these things more, well, again, just scroll down the description. You'll see a way of getting in touch. I'm wondering just whether a few of us might like to gather online at a time like this, using Zoom or something like that, and just to have a frank and friendly discussion about who the Lord Jesus is and why Christians do place our trust so firmly in him. If you'd like to do that with me and one or two others, do just get in touch as directed there. Anyway, I think that's it. Goodbye for now. It was, I say, good to see you. Well, I can't see you, sadly, but it's good to know you're there. Do keep praying for me as I keep praying for you. And Lord willing, see you next week, if not before. Bye for now.